A young mother once described a shopping trip to the grocery store with her two small children. This author said that she and her children eventually in this particular store made their way to the cereal aisle. Her children in the cereal aisle saw a purple box of cereal and they began to clamor for the purple box. "The purple box, Mommy, the purple box." That was not quite the cereal that Mom wanted, but she consented, she gave in. She picked up the purple box from the shelf, put it in the cart, and continued to move down the cereal aisle. The cart did not move very far until the kids saw in the same cereal aisle a red box. "The red box, Mommy, we want the red box." Well, the trip continued in that kind of way throughout that whole day, and she got to the point where she wanted some peace. In the book of Philippians, chapter 4, which is today's text, we read about peace. We also read about, in this chapter, some things relevant to mothers. Philippians 4 is probably not the most common text to go to for a Mother's Day sermon, but I think it is a useful text for mothers and others. In Philippians 4, verse 7, Paul talks about peace. After he speaks about this peace, he then, in verse 8, talks about some of the ways in which people can access or have this peace. Verse 7 says, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus." If we want the kind of peace that's described in Philippians 4, verse 7, there are some things we need to do. Paul tells us in this chapter that the peace he has in mind is not automatic. There are at least six things, and these six items are found in verse 8. There are at least six items that we need to have if we want to possess the peace in verse 7. And these six items can be related to parents, and I think especially mothers. Since we've read the information about peace, let's turn to the qualities that are found in Philippians 4, verse 8. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true," that's quality number one, "whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." Paul said if we want the peace that's described in Philippians 4, verse 7, we first of all need to give some attention to the things that are true. The word that's translated true in this particular verse describes what's upright. True describes the opposite of what is false or what is deceitful. In speech as well as human action, Paul said people need to have integrity and honesty. As I think about mothers and the qualities, the traits that they want to instill in their children, I can think of no better quality than this. Imagine how God must view a woman or a man, but especially a woman who instructs her children as they grow up in the formative years to be a person who's truthful. When we look at our world, we see it is often filled with lies, deception. We frequently see a lack of integrity. We find there's some cases where moms teach their children to do as the world does. But then there are some cases where moms teach their kids to be different. Mothers can and should teach their children to tell the truth, to be people of integrity regardless of consequences. Children can learn that from both parents, but especially from mom. Imagine a mother who is this week out shopping with her children. As everyone is standing there in the checkout line, the person ahead of them drops a $20 bill on the floor. Unbeknownst to them, as they're going through the coupons and everything, a $20 falls out of their purse or falls out of their wallet. One mother might say to the child, "Hey, look, that person just dropped a $20 bill. You sneak up there and you grab the money before he notices. Quick, go get it." To make the illustration really interesting, suppose that as the child is sneaking up there and trying to reach down and get the $20 and not be detected, the person, after the money has been collected, turns around. And the person asks this particular child, "Hey, did I drop something?" Thinking that maybe the child picked up some money or something else of value. And the child isn't sure what to do. So the child shoots a quick look back to mom, and mom just shakes her head no in a slightly subtle way. And the child lies. And then at a convenient time, the child passes the $20 bill back to mom. Mothers have numerous opportunities to teach their children to be upright and truthful, or not upright and not truthful. As we've seen in Philippians 4, verse 7, Paul says that peace is available. But this peace is not free. There are some things that need to be done to get it. If we want things like strife and aggravation in our life and from our children as we're rearing them, teach a child to be deceitful. But if we want the best for our children, and if we want to have peace, teach them to be people of integrity. Children, if they are in our home for 18 years, They are with us for about 6,570 days. That number of days tells us that we will have tens of thousands of times to teach them to be upright. And we need to make full use of those days. If we're doing that, if we've done that, then we need to be appreciated and commended for that. Our second word from Philippians 4, verse 8 is translated honorable in the ASV that I read from. If you have the King James translation, it may be translated something like honest. This term is found just a few times in the New Testament, but it is, like some other words in the New Testament, a term that was used by others, by secular writers in Greek culture. In fact, if you were to look at some ancient grave markers, you would find that on some tombstones in the time of the first century, this word was actually used to describe some of the people who had left this life. We're not the first people to put words on tombstones that describe the passing of someone that we've known or loved. This particular word, honest or honorable, has the sense of level-headedness. And also, it means a high standard of morality. These lessons are also lessons that moms need to communicate to their offspring, and lessons which are very, very important to teach. We see many illustrations of our people, people in our world who are not level-headed. We see situations, whether it's a local situation, maybe something that makes the national news, and one of the questions that people ask is, what was that person thinking? They did something that was not wise, not right, not good, not thoughtful. What could they have been thinking? Moms, and dads too, but especially moms, should be, as they go through life and train their children, be helping their young people think about decisions and making good choices in life. That's part of being a parent. When a mom does that, she should be commended. In our culture, kids frequently do as they want, or they're told to do whatever they feel is right. But the Bible tells us, as we look at the scriptures, that the mom is to guide, to rule in the home. Christians, and we would emphasize that mothers, need to help their children think through things. Children learn oftentimes to make good decisions because of the influence from mom. Moms also help kids make good choices by helping them make some logical, sequential choices. Thinking through things can involve all kinds of things and events. Imagine thinking about shopping this morning. Imagine a mother who decides that she's going to go shopping with her teenage daughter. Summer has come. The teenage daughter is thinking, well, it's time for another school year, and the daughter has her eye on a brand new wardrobe. So mom and daughter, they both go down to the mall. Mom gives the daughter some time, and the daughter comes back with a whole shopping cart full of clothing, a lot of which is slinky at best and maybe so revealing some of it should be illegal. The teen takes from the rack items that will cause the guys at school to have their eyes just about bug out, and the daughter says, I'm ready to go, Mom. Got all these clothes. Let's check out. The second quality in Philippians 4, verse 7, says to that mother, you take that daughter, you take that clothing, and you sit down and you say, let's talk about what you've selected. Let's look at the clothes that you want to take home and wear in public. All too often, as we look at society, we find that kids make bad choices, poor choices, wrong choices. And in some cases, they simply do not have the thought process in place to make good choices. Moms can help correct that. Moms have a huge influence on the choices made by their children. And we have a number of moms here represented this morning who have tried to help their kids think through things. And for those choices, for those times that you've tried to do that, thank you. The other aspect of this second word has the sense of a high standard of morality. Now, as we mentioned, this word was also used on gravestones for people who were not Christians in the first century. There were some people who were non-Christians who were regarded as individuals who had a high standard of morality. Well, that needs to be true of us, Paul says, if we want that peace. And not only should that be true of us, if we are a parent, especially a mother, this should be something that we're trying to instill in our children, to give them a high standard of morality that they know about, and encourage them, because we've helped them think through the process, to do this as they go out and live their life. The unsaved may walk down the street with private body parts hanging partly out of their clothing. But you know, moms and dads, hopefully, will think about, realize that that's not what the Bible says, and help their kids come to a proper conclusion. Christian mothers need to take some responsibility in helping their children become level-headed and to make good moral decisions. This word, translated honest or honorable, would not only apply to things like good clothing choices, but things like dating. Some parents, as we look at society, seem to let their kids do whatever they want. And it seems in some situations the home is run by the child and not the parent. But God is pleased. He's very pleased by those who truly want to be Christian parents, to have their homes directed in the right way, and for those who truly try to train their children to be servants of Christ. They deserve appreciation today and every day. Item 3 in Paul's list of important qualities is found in the word just. This word basically means acting in accordance with the requirements of the law. Now, once again, as we look at society, we've got a large cross-section of people. And we find as we look at life that there are some individuals who have very little regard for the law. We find people who have little regard for God's law, as well as the laws that we have from civil government. When people are not willing to comply with law, they usually forfeit the peace that Paul talked about in Philippians 4, verse 7. Certainly when people forsake God's law, they will not have the kind of peace that we find described earlier in this chapter. We find as we look at our culture some cases where parents teach children that they can be a law unto themselves. Parents may tell the kids, you don't have to listen to the teacher. You don't have to listen to the principal. You don't even have to listen to the police. You're my son, you're my daughter, and you can do what you want. Rebellion, in some cases, has reached the point in this culture where we have kindergartners being expelled. That's a problem. That's a serious issue. Children are sometimes told to do as they please, even when it comes to God and spiritual things. But blessed are the mothers. May we commend the mothers this day and throughout our lives who tell their children there are some rules that need to be followed. And some of the rules that we have, some of the rules that a mom may have for kids are house rules. Kids need to know that there are some things that they are allowed to do and some things that they are not allowed to do in the house. Children should also be told that there are some rules about worship. One of those rules might be that, hey, when it's time for God's people to meet, we're going to be there. Unless we're sick, unless a secular job has called us to be associated with our regular work, we're going to be there. There should be some rules about what kids can do during school and time after school. There should be some rules about dating and social activities. Good parents seek to come up with and then enforce good rules because that creates a peaceful environment. Philippians 4, verse 7. When parents, and especially moms, take the time and effort to come up with good rules and then enforce those rules in the home, they need to be commended. Not only on a day like this, but every day. We know that some rules are not convenient or easy to keep, and that's true for parents as well as parents. But we also know that rules are for our own good. They allow us to have the best possible life, and they help keep us safe. Society may flaunt the rules. Society may say the rules don't need to be kept. But good parents remind their kids about the need to be obedient. And in some cases, parents have to undo some of the false teaching related to the rules from our world. All right, moving to the fourth quality, we find the word pure. The word that's translated pure might be defined as fit for God. Imagine a mother. Imagine a woman, a wife, who is trying to train her children in such a way where they are literally fit for God. As we look at society, we find that there have been many cases where moms, dads, or both have tried to make their child fit for some secular occasion. You may have known a parent that wanted their child to be fit for prom. So they went out as far as clothing and all the other trimmings for that particular event. They wanted their child to be perfectly suited for that event. Or it may be that a parent wanted his or her child to be perfectly suited for some earthly skill. So they went out and spent a lot of money on tools or education. Maybe they had their child participate in some overseas trips, sporting activity. Once again, all kinds of things were done to prepare that particular child for that activity. In some cases, a child is sick. And mom and dad want that child to be prepared for a long and happy life, so they'll spend a lot of time, a lot of money, doing what is necessary to help that child go through that series of surgeries to make sure that everything is right. How many parents can we name, though? How many parents do we know that works to make their child fit for God? Blessed is the mother, or blessed is the father that seeks to do that in life. That is truly the sign of a great woman or a great man. And we might add here grandparents. What about the grandfather or the grandmother that is seeking to make their grandchild literally fit for God? That is a wonderful and commendable work. In eternity, there will be people who will look back on life and see the young people that they help, their children, grandchildren, maybe others, see how they help prepare them for earthly life. And oftentimes, there's nothing bad about that. That can certainly be a great thing to do. But how many people will be able to look back and say, I tried to help these children be prepared for eternity? We have some moms here and elsewhere today. They're working to do that every single day. And when a mom has spent the time and the energy and the money to do that, to help a child have a heart and life prepared for God, prepared for eternity, there can be no greater thing from a mom. It is not a popular thing in life to train children when it comes to the area of purity so that they are prepared to seek God. The world sometimes says, well, if you're trying to train your children in that way, that's hate speech. You're trying to teach them discrimination. When moms try to train their children in the way described by this particular quality, they may feel like they're under attack. They may feel like they are certainly in the minority. Our world wants children to be trained in things that are impure. So if you're a mom or a grandparent and trying to head your children in the right way, even though it seems like you're trying to swim upstream, you're doing the right thing. You need to be commended. Keep fighting. Blessed is every mother and father who is trying to raise pure children. Quality 5 in Philippians 4, verse 8 is translated by something like the word lovely. Every mother surely thinks that her kids are lovely. I've not heard a parent say, I have an ugly child, at least not in the later years. But that's not quite the meaning of lovely in this particular verse. In this verse, lovely means pleasing, or we might use the word agreeable. This is the kind of behavior where a person is winsome. They're working to win the hearts and the affections, the minds of others. They're doing their very best not to offend other people. There are, though, a lot of parents who seek to instill a contrary attitude or spirit in the children. There are parents who tell their kids, you holler, you fight, you scream, you yell, you carry on, you have a temper tantrum until you get your own way. We find in our culture parents who try to turn their children into some type of physical or verbal bully. Every parent instills some type of attitude within their children. And children can be taught, and successfully taught, to be very, very mean. But God offers the best advice for us if we want peace. And God's book, the Bible, offers the best manual on how to rear children. Children are impressionable, and parents make a huge impact on their offspring, certainly as the formative years go by, and even in the later years, even after kids turn out into their adult years. This fifth quality tells us that God wants people who are friendly, people who are kind, people who are cordial, people who are likable. When parents train their kids to be mean, they're not getting that from the Bible. That's not coming from the New Testament or even the Old. The woman who is truly a Christian mother is someone who seeks to train her children to literally be kind to all. She says these people may not deserve it. There may be times when you're not treated kindly, but this is how I want you to treat that person in return. The kindness might not be repaid. But kindness is something that should flow from a mother to her children, a quality that she tries to transmit. Blessed is the woman today. Blessed is that woman throughout her life who tries to instill in her children the qualities such as kindness, friendliness, and likability. Then as we look at Philippians 4, verse 6, we come to that sixth quality, the last one on the list. This in the ESV is translated good report. This word means something like praiseworthy or attractive. This final quality says that a parent, in the way that we're using this list today, wants to be involved with things that are fit for God to hear. As people go through life, they can say a lot of things that are really evil or foul. We hear in our culture a lot of speech that's mean or impure or false or ungodly. But God says, I want you to learn how to communicate in life. I want you to go through your life in such a way where the things that are said are so good, so consistent with my will, that they are appropriate for me to hear, things that I want to hear. As mothers, and again fathers, but especially moms, spend more than 6,000 days with their children on average, a lot's going to be said during that 18-year period. In some cases, moms and dads are going to say some things that they, at a later time, wish they'd never said. Parents certainly do say some things that are not fit for God's ears, and many times they come to later regret some of those words. But good parents, good mothers, seek to instill good speech into the minds and the hearts of their children. Good moms tell their kids, what you say, what you think, what you do matters. And good moms seek to say, you want to have the mind of Christ. You want to have the speech of Christ. This final quality also reminds us that mothers can say, and often do say, some things that are so good, so fine, so fitting, that they are literally fit for God's ears. Blessed is the woman who speaks and tries to live her life in such a way where God says, I am pleased by the words, and I am pleased by the works from this woman. Today, it's no secret. A lot of women are being honored. It is Mother's Day. When women seek to exemplify the qualities in Philippians 4, verse 8, though, it is at that point that they really, really shine. It's one thing to be a good mom, and that's nice. It's one thing to be a great mom, and that's good. But it is possible for a woman to be a magnificent mom. And that comes by living the Christian life. We've got the best standard. There is no better standard. And when people live by that particular standard, they're going to be the best kind of person that the world can possibly see or interact with. One of the best things that we can do for our children is to live a faithful Christian life. And we hope, because you are gathered here today, that's the choice that you've made. As a young person who's old enough to know right from wrong, we hope that you've made the decision to become a Christian. If you are not married, once again, we hope that in that unmarried, in that single state, you've made the decision to become a Christian and you're seeking to serve Christ to the best of your ability every day. If you're someone who's married, we trust that you are also someone who, as a married individual, perhaps a parent, is also seeking to live the Christian life. Not a perfect life. Everybody sins. Romans 3, verses 10 and 23. But we can seek to live in a way where we please God. And we are the kind of individual who lives in such a way where we bless others and we have that peace in our own life. This morning, if you're not a Christian, that peace is available to you. And we'd like you to take advantage of it. The Bible says if you believe, you're on the road to peace. But with that belief, you can't continue to live as the world lives. That's not a peaceful way of life. That's why the Bible says for that peace, we've got to be willing to turn and live according to what we find in the Scriptures. If we want that peace, we need a new master, so we confess Christ. If we want that peace, we've got to be cut off from that old way of life. We've got to be freed from every single sin. And that's why the Bible says we can be baptized, immersed into Christ, and have the forgiveness of our sins, Acts 2, verse 38. And it is at the moment that we get that peace that Paul talked about in Philippians 4, 7. And that is a great, great thing. And then we can continue to be the right kind of influence in whatever role that we have in life. Are we a Christian? And are we trying to live as the Bible describes, and thus possess that peace? If not, and this morning we can help you begin the Christian life, or we can help restore you as a Christian who's gotten off track, or you have another need. Will you let us know what that is as we stand and sing the selected song?
If you desire a new life to begin, let Jesus come into your heart. Just now your doubtings give o'er. Just now reject him no more. Just now throw open the door. Let Jesus come into your heart. If 'tis for purity now that you sigh, let Jesus come into your heart. Fountains for cleansing are flowing nearby. Let Jesus come into your heart. Just now your doubtings give o'er. Just now reject him no more. Just now throw open the door. Let Jesus come into your heart. If there's a tempest your voice cannot still, let Jesus come into your heart. If there's a void this world never can fill, let Jesus come into your heart. Just now your doubtings give o'er. Just now reject him no more. Just now throw open the door. Let Jesus come into your heart. If you would join the glad songs of the blessed, let Jesus come into your heart. If you would enter the mansions of rest, let Jesus come into your heart. Just now your doubtings give o'er. Just now reject him no more. Just now throw open the door. Let Jesus come into your heart. Can we see you, please?